Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, you can visit teacherluke.wordpress.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. In this episode, you're going to hear a conversation that I had with my brother, James. Now, as you know, James lives in London and I live in Paris, so it's a little bit difficult for us to arrange a face-to-face meeting, so I decided that I would try for the very first time on Luke's English Podcast to record an interview using Skype. And I think it works okay. The quality is obviously not perfect, but I think it's quite a good practice for you, because if you think about it, in the future you're probably going to need to use English over the internet. It's the way that people are going to communicate more and more, using conference calls, telephone calls, Skype calls, things like that. So it's actually quite good practice for you to train your ear to be able to understand English when it's spoken over the internet, on Skype, for example. Okay, so that's pretty much it. In the episode, we talk about New Year, what he did for New Year, some of his latest news, and also movies. We're both big fans of film, and we decided that in this one we would discuss some of our favourite British films, and my brother gives some recommendations of good English films that you should check out. Okay, don't forget you can visit teacherluke.wordpress.com for links and other information. But for now, let's get started. So for the first time now, I'm actually doing I was going to call it a transatlantic podcast, but it's not transatlantic
at
all.
That's completely wrong.
It sounded cool.
Trans-channel. Trans-British channel.
It doesn't sound as impressive, though, the trans-channel broadcast. Trans-channel obviously means that we're broadcasting across the English Channel. That's the water that runs between France and the UK. But it doesn't sound as cool, does it? A trans-channel podcast. It sounds all right, but it would be
Anglo-French Discord. No, Discord, discourse.
Yes, that would make
Anglo-French discourse.
Basically, I'm in Paris, and my brother is in London.
We're the allies, and we've got to come to get a plan together to kill Hitler.
Okay, and so what we're doing is we're recording a conversation over Skype in order to create a plot to assassinate the Führer.
Go back in time.
First of all, we have to go back in time.
Yeah, that might be the harder bit, if anything. But yeah. Both elements of the plan are going to be difficult.
You think so?
Yeah.
Which one's going to be harder, getting a time machine or managing to get close enough to Hitler to kill him?
Time machine, because in theory, I don't know if you can do time and space like the TARDIS, but you can just appear in his bedroom when he's on his own.
Yeah.
Kill him then.
Right.
Assuming you've achieved the ultimate aim of time travel, you know, the goal of time travel.
The problem with time travel is, and I heard this from...
Travel in space as well, because otherwise you'd just be at some random point in space where the Earth was at that time.
Exactly.
The Earth doesn't always stay in the same place.
Yeah.
If you stay in the same place, you might end up in the middle of a mountain or just in deep space somewhere, in somewhere... galaxy.
Because the Earth
solar system.
The Earth is spinning. It's also spinning around the Sun. So if we went back in time to 1939, then we might find ourselves in deep space, because the Earth will have been in a different position at that point. So that's no good, is it? We would just be, yes, we've got a time machine, yes, and we'd go back in time, and then we'd just be dead, frozen in space. Like that, and then
shit.
Meanwhile, Hitler's like plotting to take over Europe and invade, you know, Poland, and we're just floating in space miles away.
That's why it's the TARDIS, time and relative dimension in space, because you have to move as well as just travel in time. You have to travel physically as well.
You're talking about the TARDIS.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a Doctor Who thing. Not all my listeners know about that, but a lot of them do, because they're kind of into the Doctor Who.
I'm not into the new ones, I have to admit.
Really?
Because I can't be bothered. I'm not, you know, it doesn't get me that excited.
Yeah.
Maybe I should try it, but I used to like the old, you know, when we were kids, it was good telly.
Yeah, I think it's still good telly.
It probably is.
I think kids these days are just as much into it as we used to be, if not more.
If not more, yeah, because it was always quite confusing, but I think it's a bit more.
Oh, it's still confusing.
Is it?
Yeah, I watched some recent episodes. I haven't seen all of the new stuff. But I watched some recent episodes because I'm interested in it, and I just didn't understand what was going on. It was all very kind of cryptic. There's lots of mysteries and references to previous narratives, so it's really confusing, but somehow really appealing. Just the character of the Doctor is
a great character.
Yeah.
Great
character. So what about our plan to go back in time and assassinate Hitler?
Well, the other issue with that is if you change a prominent point in the past like that, it will change the whole of human history from that point onwards.
Yeah.
And who knows? It could, something even worse could have happened.
Yes.
I don't know. We don't know. And they also, it might just create a parallel universe, but our original universe hasn't changed. We've just moved into a different universe.
Yeah.
But the original one, where Hitler stays alive, is still there somewhere in space, and that still happens.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a theory to say there's infinite numbers of universes occurring at the same time in parallels to our universe.
Yeah.
I reckon that's bollocks, but...
There's several theories, isn't there, about the effect of travelling back in time.
Not even having to travel back in time, just the fact that every decision you make creates another universe, theoretically.
Yeah.
So we're just navigating our way through this infinite grid.
Yeah. So let's say, for example, there's, you know, at a given time, you have to make a decision. I mean, to be honest, every single moment is a million or infinite number of different possibilities, isn't it? Mm. So are you saying that's just at every single
It's infinite. It's like not even a number you could come up with. It's infinite.
So there's an infinite number of parallel universes being created at every single moment. So that means infinite.
It's almost like a liquid. You couldn't even say it was a grid.
It's almost like a liquid. I'd say it's more like a gas, isn't it?
Yeah, probably more like a gas.
Because you can't see it.
Which can also be a liquid.
If it's cold.
Calagas.
If it's cold enough. Yeah, well... When gas is compressed into a liquid.
This conversation has escalated quite quickly.
This conversation has gone horribly wrong.
Let's bring it back down to earth.
Let's bring it back down to earth. So let me just explain what's going on. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to Planet Earth. We're not planning to go back in time in order to assassinate Hitler, because let's face it, A, it's impossible, and B, it probably wouldn't even work because of the whole, you know, chaos theory and all that sort of thing. So, no, what we're doing, though, is we're just having a conversation over Skype, because obviously I'm in Paris and my brother's in London, and I, you know, I like having my brother on Luke's English podcast, and I keep getting messages from listeners saying, what about your brother? What's he doing?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, cool. Yeah. You're very popular. I don't know why, but for some reason the listeners enjoy your banter.
Oh, dear.
So
Psychic Simon.
That's a reference to Alan Partridge. And I told you not to fiddle with things on your desk.
Like this?
It makes lots of distracting noises. But, you know, you're a fiddler, so that's just what you do. So, okay. So we started talking about how this is a trans-English channel interview, not transatlantic. And then you talked about some plan to communicate between the France and England, which is like a reference back to the time during the Second World War when the French resistance movement was involved in secret communications with the English. So he's saying I'm like some kind of British RAF pilot who's crash landed in France, and I'm
now that's quite good, that's feasible.
I'm now communicating with
you're working with the French resistance,
yeah,
which is mainly just a load of very sexy French girls in long coats.
Yes. Saying things like, listen very carefully, I should say this only once. And so I'm communicating with you by...
Although that was actually set in Belgium.
That's a TV show we're talking about called Allo Allo, which was set in Belgium during the Second World War. And it's an English comedy and it's quite funny. So I could be communicating with you by carrier pigeon or something, or using some special code. But because this is 2014, we've decided to do it by Skype.
It must make spying a hell of a lot easier.
Well, the NSA certainly are involved in that.
Yeah, but who's got time? I mean, I know it's all algorithms and computers. They probably, yeah, they can do it, basically.
You mean that, are you talking about...
I mean, who's got time to monitor every conversation going on in the world? I mean, I guess it's all comes down to computer algorithms, the number of times you use certain words and certain code words being used and references to more obvious locations and things, it must be...
So you're saying that the NSA, that it's not necessarily a bunch of guys sitting reading people's emails.
I'd say that's very unlikely. Once it has to be elevated to a certain stage before it gets to that level, I would imagine.
They've probably got big databases of computers that are monitoring all of the emails everywhere. And every time certain key words come up, then there's an alert. And then
probably.
Any time you, let's say, what I wonder what those key words are.
No, I don't want to think about it.
In fact, if we say those words, then the NSA will start listening to this. Maybe we should say some of those key words in order to increase my audience ratings for Luke's English podcast.
By one.
If we'd one FBI agent, some overworked American drinking too much coffee.
You know, loosening his tie, going, God, I hate this job.
I hate my job. It's basically Agent Smith, isn't it, from the Matrix trilogy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, come on, let's chop, chop.
Okay, so I've established the context, so we're just talking. I hope that the audio quality of this is good. Don't forget...
So do I.
Don't forget to speak nice and clearly so we get everything you're saying.
Okay.
I haven't spoken to you since New Year, so how was your New Year?
Fine, fairly quiet. Stayed in with my girlfriend Jess.
Yeah.
And we drank some Jack Daniels.
Yeah.
And just chatted and ate some food and just had a quiet one, really.
Okay, you're fiddling again.
Sorry.
You had a quiet one.
We had a quiet one. Didn't go out, didn't go to the pub. Stayed up fairly late, but we didn't go sort of, you know, mental.
Didn't go mental or anything, no. Well, it's, you know, we're getting a bit old for
that. We're getting on a bit now.
Yeah.
We played quite a lot of GoldenEye.
Wait a minute. You played...
Not GoldenEye, the other one on the GameCube.
Time Splitters.
Nightfire is what it is. 007.
Wait a minute.
It's got a good, very good two-player game.
You played Nintendo?
Yeah.
James Bond?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that sounds great.
Jess is quite good. She started beating me recently.
Yeah. Okay.
So I normally win, but occasionally she started winning now, beating me.
You're not letting her win, are you?
No.
Because you shouldn't do that.
You shouldn't
let her know that you're letting her win.
I don't. Have you got the same headphones as me?
I don't know. They're Philips.
Oh, no. Different. Okay, no.
No, they're Philips headphones. They're for DJs because I'm cool.
And
down with the kids. All right, so you just had a quiet one. You stayed in. All right, and played played James Bond. That sounds brilliant. It sounds like the ideal New Year.
How about you?
Well, similar. We had a quiet one as well because we had, the parents over for Christmas.
Uh-huh.
And so we decided on New Year's Eve we would just sort of do very little. We stayed in. We watched a movie. We watched The Great Gatsby, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio, Baz Luhrmann directed it.
Mm-hmm.
It was crap.
Really?
Yeah. It was really bad. It's a pity because the story is great, isn't it? Have you ever read The Great Gatsby?
No, I've never read it, I'm afraid.
It's a brilliant book. It's a classic with a great story and, you know, really interesting stuff going on. But the director decided to give it this really over-the-top visual style. And as a result, that completely takes away from the subtlety of the characters and the subtlety of the story.
So the direction gets in the way of the film, aiding the film.
It's really stupid because it ends up being completely style over content. And really the book is about sort of
content.
Reading between the lines and trying to work out what's going on with the characters. And instead, this film is all about style and no depth, which was a pity. But Leonardo DiCaprio is always good. Have you seen The Wolf of Wall Street?
No. Have you seen it?
Yeah. Oh, you've got to see it. It's a stunning film. It's amazing. It's hilarious and frightening. And
Scorsese.
Martin Scorsese, he's done it again.
Brilliant, isn't he?
Yeah.
Best director in the world.
No one makes films like him. They're just the energy in...
Where does he get his energy from?
I don't know.
Quite a drug user, didn't he?
Yeah, he did have a period...
Pre-Taxi Driver, or...?
I think probably after Taxi Driver. Let's see. He did have a breakdown... in the late 70s.
Yeah.
And
like a lot of people in the late 70s.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you can see that he knows what that world is all about because
nighttime world of like never going to bed.
Yes.
Kind of thing.
And pushing it to the limit.
Yeah. And being out in the weird, dark places of the city. Yeah.
I mean, you see his film Goodfellas, which is the one about gangsters, the Italian mafia, with Robert De Niro, Ray Liotta, Joe Pesci. You're talking to me?
Pesci.
Joe Pesci. The one where he's like, you know, you think I'm funny, what, like a clown? That one. I'm here to amuse you. That film. There's a section at the end of that film which is where the character is doing too many drugs and everything gets out of control. And it's really intense and really difficult to watch.
Have you seen the making of? It's called Getting Made. The making of Goodfellas.
I haven't seen that, no.
And they apparently in that sequence they use loads and loads of kind of illegal shots, jump cuts that you'd never normally do. You know, like there's rules in editing where someone moves, they do something, cuts to another shot. But in that one, there's a few like repeats of the same shot.
Yeah.
They cut without any real meaning.
Yeah.
So they can cut from one place to another place without explanation.
So you mean...
Or they keep the same shot, and then, like, there's one where he looks for the phone, and then it cuts straight away to him looking...
Yes.
...again, but closer, and it's, like, that kind of fragmented...
You're talking about continuity in film
editing. Yeah, kind of. But just watch the documentary, you'll see.
I know exactly what you mean, that normally...
Jump cuts, they call it.
Yeah. Normally, in editing, you have some sort of continuity where, you know, for example, instead of filming someone leaving their house, going down the stairs and getting in the car, you just edit from them opening the door to them getting in the car. You don't show them going down the stairs because it's unnecessary.
That kind of thing.
But usually there's a sense that you have to have one person entering a shot and then leaving a shot or something. But in Martin Scorsese films, often he just doesn't obey the rules of continuity and it jumps around. And as a result, you get this sense of fragmented reality and it gives you the impression that things are slightly out of control and a bit intense. Yeah. But the Wolf of Wall Street is all like that. Like the whole, it's about 3 hours. 2.5 hours, and the whole thing is like really messed up and really intense and very, very drug fueled, and it's difficult to watch at times. It's very intense, but it's very funny, but it's very dark actually as well, because it's all about the world of the greed and moral corruption of Wall Street bankers and
yeah.
I mean, they're really horrible people.
Yeah. And they still are, and they're still rewarded highly by society for such lack of morality.
It's the dark, immoral end of capitalism, you know, like the little corner of capitalism that's just really unethical and immoral.
Yeah, but that's... Yeah.
So, you got plans for the new year? Have you got... In fact, do you have any New Year's resolutions? Are you still doing them? Sub-question.
Quite vague. Quite a few things I need to do. I need to do up the bathroom.
Yeah?
Get the bathroom sorted.
What are you going to do in the bathroom?
Just rip it all out and get a new one, hopefully. But I need to get a few more jobs first. So I reckon all of February and March, I'm going to try and work in-house somewhere, you know, on a daily rate as a freelancer.
Yeah.
Try and get some solid lumps of cash together.
Yeah.
With which I can then buy a shower, get the bathroom tiled, retiled.
Yeah.
It's okay at the moment, but it's kind of ugly. And it's a bit cramped, so I want to take out the bath, have a shower, you know.
Yeah, just
nothing very exciting, but that's something I want
to
do.
These are the ordinary, run-of-the-mill things that we have to deal with in our lives, especially as when we're adults. You have to worry about fitting a new bathroom. I remember when I was in my 20s, when I was a teenager, it was like New Year's resolutions, you know, were kind of fun, exciting things to do. Nowadays, it's like, what's your New Year's resolution? Get a new bathroom.
Yeah, it's sad, isn't it? And travel more. I want to spend less time in front of a computer and more time outside.
Okay.
Seeing new places.
Where are you going to go?
Well, the next planned trip is Ollie's stag do in Mallorca.
Yes.
That's not really what I was talking about, but...
But we are going to...
That counts.
So, just for the listeners, our cousin Ollie, who you already know because he's been on the podcast a few times, he's getting married, and so, of course, he's having a stag do. A stag do is when the groom, the guy getting married, the groom, and his friends go off on some crazy, like, night out, or these days it's extended to a whole weekend. And we're going to go to Mallorca, which is an island, a Spanish island. And what's going to happen? I think what's going to happen...
It's like one of those things where enforced... drunkenness and enforced fun, but that doesn't mean it won't be fun.
I think it'll
be quite... that slight pressure of like, right, come on lads, let's get, you know, pissed. Anyway, we'll see. I'm sure it'll be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And it will be there in May in Mallorca. It's going to be beautiful. All right, so fine.
And also Jess bought some tickets to New York.
Oh yeah, really? When?
For going in
you don't know, do you?
I'm trying to remember. Not till July, I think.
Really? Well, guess what? Yeah. We're going to New York as well in April.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we're going to be there for a week at the end of April. And I haven't been for ages, not since I was 12 years old, when we went as a family in 1989. I don't really remember much about New York, except that the Batman movie was out, and we went to Times Square, and there was a massive Batman symbol in Times Square, and all I was impressed by was this Batman symbol.
That was the best Batman film, though, wasn't it?
The first one.
Yeah.
The Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton, Tim Burton Batman.
Jack Nicholson as the Joker.
That is a good film. The rest of them, utter crap.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I quite like the new Batman films, the Christopher Nolan ones. I quite like the first one, Batman Begins. It's not too bad.
Is that Christian Bale? Yeah, it's not too silly.
Yeah, yeah.
As silly as the second one.
But there are some things that I just have problems with the new Batman films. Like, for example, why does he have to speak like this? You know, why is he doing that?
To disguise his voice.
And even in some situations when he doesn't need to do it, he's still speaking like this. You'd think it would be really difficult to keep that
up. Must ruin his vocal cords.
Really bad for his voice.
We thought the baddie was like Monty from With Thane and I. Boy, my boys!
Yeah. That's probably a reference that many of my listeners don't get.
Well, With Nail and I is a very good British film.
Yeah.
Well, that's one I'd recommend.
Yeah. Now, talking about very good British films, I have received correspondence from listeners asking me to suggest some good films, some good British films. Okay. I've talked about it a little bit before, but I thought that we would I'd ask you actually what your personal recommendations for good British films are. And I ask you because I know that you're a man of taste, so you can recommend some good films. So, good British films that my listeners should have a look at.
Okay, well, we can start out with With Nell and I, which is a classic from the 80s by, what's his name, the director?
Bruce Robinson.
Bruce Robinson, of course. Not Bruce Dickinson, Bruce Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
It's about two out-of-work actors in the 60s who are played by Richard E. Grant and what's the other one's called?
Paul McGann.
Paul McGann, who was also Doctor Who.
He was the something like the eighth Doctor, ninth Doctor, something like that. So Paul McGann and Richard E. Grant.
E. Grant. And don't really want to spoil it. I mean, it's kind of a film that you can watch many, many times. The first time it's quite confusing. It can be a bit hard to work out what's going on.
Yeah.
And to get your head around it, because it's kind of described as a very kind of cool student kind of film with a bit of cool stuff, and it actually isn't. It's actually quite a bit of a downer the first time you watch it, and it's kind of depressing and weird, and you don't really understand it. But then on the repeated viewings, you actually understand who these people are, and you start to work out what's going on, and it starts to become very, very funny.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. It's a cult film. By that, you know, I mean a film which is very, very, very popular with a fairly small audience. And it's very popular.
It was made by Handmade Films, which was set up by George Harrison, amongst others, mainly George Harrison. So it was funded by him. Because of that, he got access, because it's quite a small, indie, low-budget film, but he still managed to get access to some very good, iconic music.
Yeah,
by Jimi Hendrix and the Beatles, which is a very rare thing to get in a film. You have to pay a lot of money, usually, to get an act like that.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't have been able to afford it. But because of George Harrison's influence, there's some really good songs in it as well, just as another side note.
Yeah, but basically the story, it's not all about story.
It's not really driven by the story. It's characters that drive it, really.
But essentially, the story is there are these two out-of-work actors in the end of the 1960s, and they are... they've got no money. They're living in a house in Camden, which is a total mess. And it's like the end of the party, you know, like the summer of love, 1967. It was like, you know, lots of peace and love and drugs and alcohol and stuff. And it was all wonderful. But then, just a year or two later, the dream was over. And the sort of everyone came down of this weird high, and it became very dark. You know, it was sort of like dark and
the end of the 60s and the end of hope, when they realised that their sort of optimism wasn't quite enough to change the world, and the world was going to carry on.
Yeah.
As it was.
Yeah.
Nothing was really going to change.
Exactly. And so what we see is these two characters struggling, in a way, to kind of come back to reality. And the two characters sort of go in slightly different directions.
Let's not go into too much detail.
But one thing I would say about the film is that the thing that's appealing, there's several things that are appealing, but one of them is the script. I mean, it's an outstanding script. It's very, very funny and moving, and it's a script that lots and lots of people remember, and they can repeat all the lines from it. So, you know, when you're with your friends who know the film, you can kind of like have fun repeating lines from the script. And the other thing is the performances are really great. You know, there's some really great acting. So it's a cult classic, With Nell and I. I'll include the name of that movie on the page for this.
Maybe some trailers or something.
Yeah, I'll give you some information on the webpage, which of course is teacherluke.wordpress.com. You can go there and find the details of that. So With Nell and I now, to be honest, that's a very difficult film for learners of English to appreciate because of the complex nature of the script, and it's not obviously... It's not a mass appeal film, so you might need to kind of give it a chance. I watched it with my girlfriend, who, as we all know, is French, and she didn't get it. She didn't get it at all.
Didn't enjoy it.
No, because she couldn't really get into the detail of the script. But to be honest, when I saw it for the first time, I didn't really understand it either. It wasn't until I'd seen it a few times that I really understood what it was all about. Okay, with Nell and I. Any others?
Yes. Another favourite, absolute favourite of mine is by Shane Meadows, who's a director from Nottingham in the Midlands.
Yeah.
And the film is called Dead Man's Shoes.
Okay.
And it's by Warp Films and had some British film funding, I believe, as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically, I kind of, as if Rambo, First Blood, one of those revenge films was set in a sleepy Midlands town in England.
Yeah.
And I don't really want to say too much about it because it's just the best if you go in not knowing anything about the film.
Yeah.
And Paddy Considine is the main star of the film.
Yeah.
He's a brilliant actor. He's been in other things since, but this is probably his best work.
Mm.
And a very, very good cast, very natural performances, very natural situation. It all feels very, very believable to me.
Yes.
Frighteningly so. Very well edited, very good music.
And
everything about it is amazing, and it feels very real, that film, to me. I just, you know, it's very relatable, very real, and very... It's funny, it's dark, it's sort of, you know, just like real life.
Yeah. We grew up in the Midlands in a place that's not too dissimilar to where this film is set, and it feels
certainly
like...
similar in the general area, yeah. It's kind of in the countryside, but people don't act like they're country people. They're not farmers or anything. They don't live on the land. They just walk around the green bits and then go to the pub.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. But the point is that when watching the film, it felt like the characters were real people, and it felt like I almost knew some of these characters. But then...
It's kind of people you might meet on a sort of wet Thursday night in a pub, but they were hiding out from another pub because they were probably wanted by someone.
Yeah.
And these geezers would turn up at our local every now and then. You'd be like, who the hell is those six blokes over there that come in every night for 2 weeks and then you never see them ever again?
Yeah.
You're going to think there's something weird going on there.
Yeah. So the film has got like a darkness to it and a sense of danger and threat and mystery. And it's just brilliant.
It's outstanding. One of the best films ever made, I'd say. I know that's a bold claim, but I'd say it's my number one film of all time.
I think my listeners might know the director for his more famous work, which is called This Is England.
Yeah.
This Is England.
This Is England's also very good, but to me it's a bit generic. It's not as interesting as Dead Man's Shoes.
Yeah.
The characters are a bit more off the shelf.
Yeah. All right. But England is about a young lad in Nottingham who grows up and joins a group of skinheads. And it's about skinheads in Nottingham. All right. So we've got with Nell and I.
And it's about England's identity and how it, you know.
Yeah, England during the 80s when Margaret Thatcher was in power and just sort of the result of. Sort of various what it was like to live in England in a working class community in the Midlands or in the north of England when Thatcher was in charge, and what a weird sort of place it was, you know, after the Falklands War. A lot of children lost their fathers, you know, in the war.
Not that many did, to be fair. I don't think that's a common thing.
All right. Not as many.
I always thought that was an awkward bit of the film, to be honest. They really shoehorned that bit in.
Really?
Slightly. That's what I'm... I don't know. It's not as satisfying a film as Dead Man's Shoes for me. It's it doesn't seem as natural.
You feel like the part of the story where he loses his dad is a bit contrived, do you think?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. That's not a spoiler, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, because it happens at the beginning of the film. All right, so other things. We were talking about the Cornetto trilogy.
Yep, that's Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and The World's End.
Yeah,
by Edgar Wright, Simon Pegg, and others.
Nick Frost.
So, we knew them over here from their TV series Spaced, which is very, very good cult. Channel 4. So we could call it a sitcom, but it's not really a sitcom. It's a sort of good comedy. Very, very good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Comedy with lots and lots and lots of cultural references in there, to lots of geeky things that people of our age relate to.
Lots
of Star Wars, to video games, to sort of all sorts of weird things. Music and the kind of culture that was going on at the time.
Yeah, okay.
So then there they went on to the big screen and they started with Shaun of the Dead, which a lot of people will have seen, surely. That's a lot of your listeners will have seen Shaun of the Dead.
See, the thing is that it might not be called Shaun of the Dead in their countries. It's probably got a different name. So we have to explain basically what happens in the film.
Can you say Shaun of the Dead in French?
Shaun de la mort. Yeah.
Is that... We're rubbish at other languages, aren't we?
Yeah, but the fact is that when English language films are opened in different countries, they give them different titles.
Yeah, I know.
Like, sometimes they give them titles in the foreign language, but sometimes they give them a different title in English. Like,
it's just more recognisable.
Yeah, like The Hangover in France is called Very Bad Trip. Yeah,
It's not quite the same thing, is it?
Because the word hangover is not very common.
It's the day after. Okay.
Yeah, but
it's not really an equivalent word for that in French. It's because they eat such fine food. They don't get hangovers.
No, they have the word hangover. They have it in French. It's a gueule de bois, which is like a mouth of wood, I think. It's a bit weird. But anyway...
But that's not the same thing as a hangover. That's just
no,
like...
No, it is. That's just their word for a hangover. They
okay.
call it a gueule de bois, meaning when you feel bad after you've drunk the night before. But they don't know the word hangover. Not enough people in France know the English word hangover for it to be successful as the name of a movie.
And so, gueule de bois is not a very... attractive proposition for a night at the cinema, is it?
No, they want to give it an English title because it's an English language movie as part of the sales pitch for the film. Anyway, maybe Shaun of the Dead is not called Shaun of the Dead around the world. But basically, what happens in Shaun of the Dead?
He's a kind of 30-something loser, you could say, drifting through life, not appreciating his girlfriend, being a bit of a slacker. And having a holding down a sort of dead end job and losing his girlfriend slowly, and then he gets caught up in a zombie attack.
Yeah.
And it's all a sort of analogy to his situation in life, that he feels like he's being dragged into the world of the living dead.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, it's great because it's funny and it's got different layers. There's like many different things going on, different subtexts. There's a romantic comedy aspect to it. There's the horror movie aspect, but also
it is quite creepy in places, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite frightening. Yeah,
even though it's almost a pastiche of a horror movie, not quite. It's also a homage.
Yeah. That's right. It's great because it's funny and it's scary. And also it's quite touching in a way because you feel like, yeah, I understand. I can relate to this guy because, you know, it's about having to move on, having to, like, grow up and take on responsibilities and learning to join the rat race or not. Or deal with the fear that you have of joining society, you know, getting a job and all that kind of thing. And about losing your friends, you know, something related to that you have to kind of let go of the old friendships you had with your mates when you were younger, and you've got to try and move on and become more responsible. And all of this is played out in the context of a zombie invasion, which is quite original.
Yeah, it's very clever.
Then the second film in this trilogy is called Hot Fuzz, right?
Yeah, very good. Set in a sleepy English town, and it's basically all those kind of buddy cop action movies.
Yeah,
reset in an English cathedral town, which is a sort of old, sort of fairly
boring.
Boring English town. And it's apparently based in Wells, which is Edgar Wright's hometown.
Mm.
And it's kind of a slight teenage fantasy of kind of running riot in your hometown and having police shooting and blowing things up. And that sort of, it's a bit like a daydream in that way of when you're a kid and you think, imagine if there was a big shootout here. And kind of, it's silly. It's a silly film. It's not quite as serious as Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
It's got some really silly bits in it that the first time I watched it, I thought felt a bit let down. I thought, oh, they've gone too silly with this.
Yeah.
But then the second time I watched it, I enjoyed it just as more of a daft kind of romp.
Yes.
And it's very enjoyable, very funny.
Really, the thing that's going on is that, you know, those American Hollywood action movies like Lethal Weapon or Bad Boys or whatever it is, you know, just like the typical American Hollywood action movie about cops. It's all completely over the top and very violent, lots of explosions and drama. Imagine that kind of film happening in a ordinary, boring, sleepy, old English town. That's the joke, isn't it, really? It's kind of like...
Essentially, yeah.
An American action movie in that context.
And it's a buddy movie as well as being a pastiche. It's actually quite a good buddy movie because the local cop is the fat, sort of bumbling Nick Frost.
Yeah.
And Simon Pegg turns up as a sort of super cop from London who's trained to use weapons and has taken down the most number of criminals in his town or whatever the hell it is.
And he's very serious as well, isn't he?
Yeah, very serious. Doesn't know how to loosen up and enjoy himself.
He's married to his job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's good.
And then the third one is called The World's End, which was in the cinemas last year.
My mate Will has just turned up. Can you...
Okay.
Well, just leave it running for now.
Okay, all right. My brother's expecting a friend. His friend Will has just arrived. So Will doesn't know that we're recording a podcast. So my brother's just gone to answer the door. So Will's going to come in. He's probably going to start talking. And he doesn't realise that he's on Luke's English podcast. He might think he's a bit strange. But we'll talk to Will and see how he is.
Well, speaking of movies, I have the finest wines available to humanity.
Wine?
I have red wine.
Speak to Luke. I've just got to go to the Luke.
Okay.
Hello, Will.
Hello, Luke.
How are you?
Ask Luke if you want, because Will's a very interesting dude.
He is, isn't he?
It's good. Good opinions on Whitman and I.
We're not recording, are you?
Will, we're recording. You are live on Luke's. Well, you're not live. Don't worry, actually. You are being recorded, and you're going to be broadcast around the world on Luke's English podcast. So Will is just showing me a bottle of wine that he's brought.
Chateau Labrigorge Margaux 2009.
It's French, very nice.
Yeah, I work for an oil company, and they're it's a private company.
Yeah.
They're not in the stock market. It's family run, and the family owns a vineyard, and they give every employee two boxes of wine every year. So
wonderful. So you got a box, a whole box.
Two boxes.
Seriously?
12 bottles. They're worth £25 each.
Right. Great. So you're gonna drink that with my brother now?
Chateau Margaux?
Yeah.
Booyah.
Best of the century.
Margaux's good shit.
Isn't that the best of the century wine that they drink in Withnail and I?
I don't know what they drink in Withnail and I. No, that's 67 or something, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's set in... Well, it's made in 85, but it was set in the 60s, right?
Yes, 60, 68, 69. Yeah, that's right. How does it feel to be on Luke's English podcast, Will?
It feels a special sort of tingly sensation.
Yeah.
Around the scrotal area.
Really? Are you excited?
Am I allowed to curse? Am I allowed to curse?
You can curse, you can say whatever you want. This is, after all, natural British English, as it really is spoken. But you may need to explain things which I consider to be complicated that my listeners won't understand. So if you say...
Google Translate up.
If you say, for example, that you're feeling a special tingling sensation around your scrotum, we may need to explain what those words mean. Are you ready to do that?
I'm ready to explain, yeah.
Okay, well, if it's necessary. I'm not sure we're going to go into that particular expression right now. So you've brought a bottle of wine to share with my brother.
Yeah.
Be careful, because he might drink most of it. You know that, don't you?
That's allowed. I don't even like wine.
Really? Oh, you don't you don't drink, do you?
I do drink. I want some. But he can have the lion's share, certainly.
Yes. Okay, he probably will.
Yeah. He probably is already.
Do you know about... my podcast?
No.
Okay.
Tell me about
it. It's an audio one.
I hope I'm not ruining it.
No, you're certainly not. This is interesting because this was unplanned, which makes it, you know, a lot more exciting. you know, it's like actually really happening without any contrivance.
I'm nodding.
You are, yeah.
Note for the audio, nodding.
Will is nodding in agreement. Mm. So I've been doing this thing for nearly 5 years, and it's for people learning English, right?
Okay.
Because, you know, I'm an English teacher. And,
right.
And I've been doing it for 5 years, and now I've got thousands of listeners all over the world who actually listen to this.
True.
Yeah, it's true, isn't it? So you're now famous.
How's your new website working out, by the way? Have you had any teething problems, or is it all...
No, it's okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't have really a new website. I've got a new host for the audio, and that's great. The website itself is, you know, looking okay. It could be better. There's lots of things that I need to do. It's just a question of finding the time to do it. But Will, you're now. Are you planning to go to South America in the near future or Russia?
No. Why?
Because if you were, then I would say sort of be prepared, because you might be mobbed at the airport by fans. Because if now that you've been on this, you're famous now. Well, if you go to Colombia, you'll be a well-known person there. You see.
Ladies, you like the sound of my voice?
They'll give you diplomatic immunity, you know. You won't need to pay for anything. You'll be looked after. So how's your 2014 going so far?
It's going pretty damn amazingly, actually.
Yeah? That's good.
I've just started seeing a really nice girl.
Excellent.
And I'm over the moon about it.
That's very good news. When did you meet her?
2006.
All right, so she's a friend who has now become...
No, she's my ex-girlfriend.
Oh, really?
I went out with her briefly in 2007.
Yeah.
And it didn't work. And but we're seeing each other again now as of about Christmas time.
Yeah.
I just heard a pop there. That was
the wine.
The cork coming out of the bottle.
Yeah, okay.
And it's... 4:05 on Monday.
Yeah, it's just the right time to open a bottle of wine.
Jim and I are men of leisure.
Yes, yeah. It's a pity that I can't join you, really, isn't it?
I would have had to bring more wine.
I know. I happen to be in another country, so I can't. But I'm sure we've got wine here in the apartment somewhere, so I might open a glass. Before you arrived, I was talking to my brother about the Cornetto trilogy, because we're telling listeners about good British films that they should check out. All right.
Okay.
So you know the Cornetto trilogy, don't you?
No, I've never heard of it.
That's Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and The World's End.
Yes, I do know it. I've seen them all. They're amazing. I just didn't know it was called the Cornetto Trilogy.
It's called the Cornetto Trilogy because in each film, they eat Cornetto ice creams.
Ah.
That's it. So have you seen them all, by the way?
Yeah.
Which one did you like the best?
Shaun of the Dead.
Yes.
I think they started to get slightly tired afterwards with the... sort of repetition of tropes, but I think the first one was great.
Yeah, okay.
You agree?
Oh, yeah, I think the first is the best. But I've been thinking about The World's End recently, and I think that may be the second best one. I think it's quite deep.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very strange.
Now, we haven't explained what The World's End is yet, so we're going to have to just briefly run through the plot of this. Basically, as in Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz, it's basically kind of like an English... a story about ordinary English people, but with some Hollywood element thrown into it. So the first one is like a romantic comedy, but with zombies, so it's like a horror movie. The second one is a story about friendship in a small town, but with the Hollywood action movie genre added into it. And the third one is a kind of science fiction element. It's about a group of friends who are pushing 40, they're sort of in their late 30s. They used to be friends. They grew up together. They haven't seen each other for ages, and they decide to get together and go on a trip to back home to their old hometown and catch up on, you know, what they've been doing. And in the middle of this, they discover that there's an alien invasion, and they have to battle robots. And so that's kind of it. There's more to it than that, but that's a general overview of it. So there you go.
What do you think the robots represent?
The subtext of this is that when they go back to their hometown and it's not quite the same, and in fact they don't realise at the beginning that the town has been taken over by robots and all of the people have been replaced by robot clones. Okay, so the subtext of this is that basically they're looking at the kind of the way that culture is being homogenized, you know, like the Starbucksization, if that's a word, Starbucksization of culture. So they visit all their pubs visit all their old favorite pubs in town, and they discover that a lot of them have just become corporate chain pubs. So they've lost their individual identity, their originality, and they've just become bland kind of corporate chain pubs. So I think the robots represent the fact that people's individuality or the uniqueness of culture has become reduced by something like the Starbucksization of culture. My brother just can't stop fiddling around.
Tidying up a bit.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's like the Matrix, in that.
I suppose so. Yeah. In that
they're channeling a kind of Baudrillardian idea about the simulacrum of reality being mediated by a robotic repetition in, you know, Weatherspoon's taken over.
Yeah.
I prefer Sam Smith's myself.
Sam Smith's is a chain of pubs. So Will's just sort of mentioned the sort of academic postmodern theory relating to movies like The Matrix and The World's End, which I totally agree with. You mentioned what, like philosophers like Baudrillard?
Baudrillard.
Yeah. Okay.
He influenced the making of The Matrix.
Yeah. Really?
Okay. Those two brothers' is only good film. What are they called? The Wachowski brothers.
That's it. That's the only good film they've made, The Matrix.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
So we're talking about British films, though, right? So
we are, yeah.
What's your favourite British film, apart from With Nan and I?
Apart from With Nan and I, second place, I'd put With Nan and I. favourite British film.
I saw the Ipcress file the other day. I'm not saying it's my favourite, but have you seen that?
It's very good, yeah. Love it.
Michael Caine is a really sort of blue-collar spy. He's like the anti-Bond.
Yes.
He's a sort of working-class blue-collar, lives in a bedsit kind of spy.
Yeah.
Really good. And the music's brilliant as well.
And it's very stylish. You get to see London in the mid-60s. It's really
stylish in a mod kind of way.
Yeah, they're very sharp suits.
Not extravagant. He lives in a really sort of basic surroundings, and it's quite urban and quite modernistic.
Yes.
When was it made?
66 or something.
Yeah. Oh, it's young Michael Caine.
Yeah. That's one of his earliest films.
That's the Ipcress file, ladies and gentlemen.
Quite silly as well.
Yeah.
And another good film I saw recently is called Performance. Have you seen Performance?
Yes,
Luke?
Yes, I have.
Mick Jagger.
And
is that one that all those Happy Monday samples are out of?
Really?
With Bing Curtis. And, okay. I like a bohemian atmosphere.
My listeners are now completely lost at this stage.
Switching off.
I like that. Maybe... Turn it up.
Yeah.
They're not saying that.
Okay.
Look, we might have to cut this one fairly short. I'm not saying very short, but maybe we'll do music next time if you want.
Let's do that.
And just keep this one to films.
Yeah. I'm going to let you guys drink your wine.
Well, how long have we been talking about?
Oh, about an hour.
50, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, right. I'm going to drink that Margot.
Feel free to edit me out.
I'm not going to edit you out, Will. How could I... How could I edit you out, Will? Seriously.
Luke, I think you should give Will his own episode at some point.
What could I talk about?
Academia.
I can talk about that.
There's plenty of things we could talk about, Will, because you're very well-read, very intelligent, very very eloquent and articulate gentleman.
Thank you.
I'm sure the listeners would be fascinated to hear about...
It's Radio 4 style, you know.
In our time.
Yeah. We could have a seriously intelligent episode of Luke's English Podcast. I mean, they're all intelligent, but yours would be, like...
Seriously
intelligent. Yeah. Okay, thanks very much, guys. Thank you for talking to me.
I prefer the shorter episodes of this podcast anyway, so I think this is... probably best.
But you're not the target listener, are you, really, for Luke's English podcast?
Brevity is the soul of wit.
Brevity, levity, and gravity.
Okay, time to stop listening to this now, isn't it?
Bye.
Goodbye. Good to talk to you. Cheers.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. All right, so I've stopped the recording, that's basically it, isn't it? Yes, it is. I'm still talking to you. The Skype call is over, but I'm still talking to you. I imagine that at the end of that conversation, it all started to get a bit confusing, what with three people talking over the internet, we started talking about complicated things like the subtext of The Matrix and that other film, The World's End. If you go to teacherluke.wordpress.com, you'll be able to find links and other information on the movies and things that we talked about in this episode, and then you'll be able to check them out for yourselves. If you are still listening to this, then well done. You're brilliant, aren't you? Definitely. I think you've made the right choice by continuing to listen to this all the way through to the end. Some people don't, you know? Some people, it gets a little bit difficult, it gets a little bit confusing, and they give up. But not you. No, because you're special. Okay, that's it. I'll speak to you again soon. But for this episode, and for now, it's goodbye. Bye, 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 bye. You've been listening to Luke's English Podcast. In fact, you are still listening to Luke's English Podcast. In just a couple of seconds, you're going to stop listening to Luke's English Podcast. But for now, you're definitely still listening to Luke's English Podcast. And all it remains for me to say is thanks again for listening to Luke's English Podcast.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.